At Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you've given us to be in the house of God today. Thank you, Lord, for the good choir singing, Lord, the good congregation, Lord, the good special. Lord, now as we open up your precious word, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd anoint us, fill us with the Spirit of God. I pray, God, you'd touch our voice. Lord, help us, Lord, not to be hard to listen to, but, Lord, touch us and help us to relay the burden of our heart to the congregation today. Lord, I pray, God, we'd see no man save Jesus only. I pray for someone here today that's lost, that does not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray this would be the day that they trust you today. And what you do, we'll thank you, we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture that the Lord has led our hearts to while studying and praying on Friday. I was led here, by the leadership of the Lord. I know without doubt this is where God wants us to share. I've had this message and this outline written in my Bible probably for about 2 years and have just not had a liberty to preach it. And I really felt like after the two nights of meeting that we had and the good Sunday the Lord gave us last week, that this would be the time to bring this particular message. We understand when we come to the context of Isaiah chapter number 6, that in the previous chapter, Isaiah chapter number 5, that Isaiah has just pronounced 6 woes upon the nation of Israel. I'd like for you to maybe turn a page back in your Bible and notice them with me by way of introduction. If you look at Isaiah 5 verse 8, here's what Isaiah says: Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that there may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. I call this one the riches that they possess. This woe that Isaiah is pronouncing here is dealing with covetousness. He is dealing with people that are thieves. In other words, it is the rich taken from the poor. They are disobeying God's law that he set up in the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy. And they were taking things that did not belong to them. And they were defrauding the poor. And they were stealing. Does that not sound familiar to the day and age we are living in? I'm talking about where people, they just assume, steal hand over fist from you. They don't mind charging you out the wazoo. They don't mind jacking prices up. They don't mind defrauding you and stealing from you. After all, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and you got to do the best you can. I understand you got to make a living, but you ain't got to make a killing. Somebody say amen right there. But that is the day and age we're living in, and Isaiah pronounced this woe. This word woe, it means grief or anguish, affliction, wretchedness, calamity, or trouble. The dictionary of the Bible says that this word means a woe of exclamation of judgment on others. In other words, here's what Isaiah is saying. It's your fault. It is your fault, you people that defrauded and you have stole and you have lied and you have defrauded people. The reason our nation, it is in the mess it in, it is in today, it's because of the people who have lied and cheated and stolen from the people. Is that not the day and age we're living in? You know me, I don't get very political, but I tell you, the government, all they need is a mask, amen. Somebody said, why does a doctor wear a mask? Well, Jesse James wore one too, amen. But I'm just telling you, there's people, they just steal and they lie and they cheat and they just want to do everything they can to get one up on you. And Isaiah points his finger and says, you are the problem. The riches they possess. But then look at Isaiah 5 and verse number 11. Here's the second one. He said, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. There's the riches they possess, but there's the reveling that they practice. This word reveling gives the idea of drinking alcohol and partying and living a lascivious lifestyle. This little phrase is interesting to me. They follow strong drink. And by the way, anybody that drinks alcohol, that's exactly what they're doing. They are following the bottle around. That means the bottle is leading them and guiding them and controlling them, and they're doing whatever that bottle tells them to do. Hey, my Bible still says wine is a mocker and strong drink is a rage, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So I said, preacher, well, I'm against alcohol, but I have a little wine with my meal every once in a while. You know, Paul said a little wine for the stomach's sake. If you believe that and you take that out of context, you don't have the sense God gave a billy goat. Somebody say amen. And don't even say Jesus turned that water into alcoholic beverage. Jesus wasn't a bartender or a wine bibber. Amen. I'm telling you, the first time you find the word wine in the Bible is when Noah plants that vineyard, and the Bible said he drank of that wine and he got naked in that vineyard and a sin was committed. Ain't that interesting? Drinking and nakedness and perversion, they all go together. You name one good thing that's ever come out of alcohol. I mean, you name one good thing, one good benefit that's ever come from anybody drinking alcohol. I'm telling you, I'm a teetotaler, amen. I'm against it all. I'm against your wine and your liquor, your vodka, your little drinks you mix up at the beach. Somebody say amen right there. I'm against it all. Amen, you better not be a member of this church and drinking. We'll vote you out in a New York minute. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, drinking is wrong. It is a sin against God. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine. Where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you, he looked at that crowd that was drinking and he said, you're the problem in this nation. I tell you, the world, I ain't preached on alcohol in a while, so let me just preach a little bit. I'll tell you, the world, they'll never show you the other side of alcohol. They'll never show you the other side of that beer and that wine and that vodka. They'll never show you the other side of that. They'll never show you the empty cupboards and the beaten children, the beaten wife, and even in some cases, the beaten husband, all because of the alcohol and the perversion that it brings. They don't show you the people in prison today because they raped some 14-year-old girl while they were drunk. They never show you that side, but they say it's a disease. Disease, it's a sin. It's wicked against God. I'm actually old enough to remember when you couldn't even buy alcohol on Sunday. And now it's just you get all you want. And now there's even preachers that think it's okay to drink a little bit of alcohol. They have the Bible and the Bartender podcast, something like that, where they talk about drinking the Bible and beer, where you can drink beer and you can read the Bible. I tell you, there ain't nothing taught in this Bible. That ain't right at all. And you're not right with God if you drink alcohol. You're not right with God if you drink wine. You ought to get right with God. Somebody say amen right there. Ain't nothing ever come good from alcohol. All it's done is destroy families and destroy homes, destroy lives. Children go to school hungry because daddy's too sorry and mama's too sorry to spend the money to buy groceries, but they'll buy their alcohol. And I ain't preaching, but let me just throw a fit. I don't get these restaurants that serve alcohol to families that's got children at the table. How are they going to get home? Somebody say amen right there. And Isaiah points at him and says, you're the problem. The riches they possess, the revelings they practice. How about this? Verse 18 and 19, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords and vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his word that we may see it. Let him counsel the Holy One of Israel, draw nigh and come that we may know it. I call this the rebellion they promote. In other words, this crowd knows they are doing wrong, and they mock God and dare God to punish them. Hello? Is that not where we're living at today? That comes even more into the church world. I mean, they know it's not right to do this. They know it's not right to do that. But I tell you, well, God ain't judging me for it. Well, God ain't convict. I've heard this one. Well, God ain't convicting me about it. Hey, man, do you really need to be convicted about killing somebody? Well, I don't kill people because God has convicted me about killing people. Well, I'm glad you have such strong convictions, or we'd all be dead. See how dumb that sounds? Well, I also have a conviction about dressing immodest, and I also have a conviction about that. I also have a conviction about all that. You better have some convictions in the rebellion they promote. I'm telling you, the rebellion they promote, they just go and flaunt it in God's face and flaunt it to the world and dare you to say something about it. You can't say nothing about my sin. God ain't judging me for it. I'm not convicted about that. I'm telling you, there's some things you don't want to be convicted about. Nakedness, you shouldn't have to be convicted about nakedness. Amen. You shouldn't have to be convicted about that. You shouldn't have to be convicted about drunkenness. Amen. You shouldn't have to be convicted about. By the way, while I'm on the subject, I don't want to hear, and I don't know why I've got this on my mind, but I'm going to say it, and I ain't said nothing like this in a while, but it's time that we just blow some things out, and you can take this what it's worth, but I don't want to hear one woman complaining about a man putting on a dress when these women's been cross-dressing for years. Somebody say amen right there. You can like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it, swallow it, whatever you want to, but I tell you, there's so much hypocrisy in this world and the rebellion that they promote, and they know it's wrong. They know the Bible's against it, and they know it's wrong, but they just keep on doing it, and they go their own merry way, and everything's fine because God understands. He don't understand as much what you think he does. Well, let's get a shovel and bury it, Charles, because we just killed it. But if that killed it, it needed to be killed. Amen. Somebody said, I didn't like that. Take a number. I'm not trying to sound prideful or arrogant, but I remember when preachers preach like this all the time. Amen. There's the replacement they proclaim. Verse 20, Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them, watch this now, that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is that crowd that changed everything. I call it the replacement they proclaim. In other words, the good guys are now the bad guys. And the bad guys are now the good guys. Boy, we've seen that happen, haven't we? I mean, right is now wrong, and wrong is now right. I'm not trying to be rude or crude this morning. I ain't got a bad attitude. But every once in a while, a preacher's got to come in and preach on sin and just name it and call it out. And let me say this. You can't preach on sin and not be mad at it. You can't preach on sin and not be against it. Somebody say amen right there. I'm not apologizing for it. I believe my attitude and my spirit's right. And if not, the Holy Ghost of God will convict me later. Somebody say amen. And my wife will tell me. I'm telling you, they change everything. They change everything. It used to be called sodomy. Now it's an alternate lifestyle. See how they change it? It's really not that bad. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm against the sodomy lifestyle as much as I am fornication and adultery. I stand against it all 100%, amen. Anybody, any of them get saved, they'll turn to Christ, but I'm just as much against that as I am any other sin. They call it disease, but God calls it drunkenness. They call it being chemical dependent, but God calls it drugs. They call it, watch it now, common law marriage, but God calls it fornication. Yes, sir. Yes, amen. I still believe if you are involved in a relationship and I'll be kind, but if you're involved in a bedroom relationship with somebody you're not married with, it's fornication, and God's against it, and I am too. They call it a fling, but God calls it adultery. They say it's a choice, but God calls it abortion and murder. They just change it all. And Isaiah said, you're the problem. Here's the fifth one. Isaiah 5:21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. This is the reality of pride. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. I tell you, and I don't think there is anybody this morning, but there might be someone, well, I don't know who that preacher is, think he's preaching. I'm the pastor, I'm a man of God, and got the word of God, and the spirit of God, and the commission, and the call of God. That's who I think I am, amen. And I'm just trying to preach what the Bible says, but I tell you, when you preach on sin, and you stand for righteousness, you know what's going to raise up in your life? It's either going to be conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, and if you're not right with God, that pride will rise up, and it'll say, well, who's that preacher think he is? Why does he got to preach like that? Don't you know that's old fashion? Don't you know that's out of date? And our pride rises up, but pride goeth before destruction, and a Holy Spirit before a fall. And the Bible said that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And then in verse 22 and 23, y'all still all right? This is just introduction. Verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink. Watch this verse. Which justify the wicked for reward. Take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. This is the refusal principle. In other words, this speaks of the people that have the power to judge and do right, but they don't. They refuse to obey the law. And these are the judges and the rulers that refuse to obey the law. Amen. I could get real personal right here about our town, but it's aggravating to me that all these drug dealers and all these drug offenders get arrested, but we don't have a DA with guts enough to prosecute them and put them in the jail's house. Somebody say amen right there. And we need to find out who's running, and they ain't got the guts to put them away. Find somebody that does have the guts. Amen. It's not a victimless crime. But ain't it amazing? They'll let child molesters out, and they'll let the child pornography guys out, and they'll let the drug guys out. But unto God, you shoot a squirrel in your backyard, you're going to the state penitentiary for 25 years. I got one crawling on my roof right now. I'm looking for an atomic bomb. I'm doing everything I can to kill him. I want to send him, amen. I want to get rid of him. Somebody say amen right there. But you can kill a baby. Nobody says nothing. But you kill some dog, and I believe y'all take care of your dogs and your cats and your gerbils and all that, whatever you got, take care of it. Don't bring it to my house. We got enough dumb animals as it is. I believe y'all, if you got an animal, y'all to take care of it, y'all to feed it and take care of it. Somebody say amen. But I tell you, that day, I'm going to tell you, that day ever comes, that dog bites one of my kids. Okay. You heartless, cruel person. Oh, get off of that. I'm telling you, that is the world we are living in, where they refuse to do principle. And Isaiah said, I'm going to tell you the problem in this nation. It's all these people that are covetous, these people that are drunks, these people that won't do right. They call evil good and good evil. They won't do right when it comes down to it. They're full of pride and wickedness and envy and strife. He said, that's the problem with this nation. Amen. Y'all ain't heard me preach like this in a while. And some of y'all are like, wow, where's this guy been? I'm not on medication. Don't worry. Those are the six woes that Isaiah pronounces on the nation of Israel. But did you know there's a seventh woe? Look what he says in Isaiah 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. Now for six woes, Brother Charles, he's saying them, them, them. Woe is them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. It's their fault. It's their problem. It's them. But in verse 5, he puts himself in that same category and said, woe is me. The coveting crowd is the problem. The drinking crowd is the problem. The abortion crowd is the problem. The prideful crowd is the problem. The perverts and the judges and the people that don't have a backbone, they are the problem. But I'm the problem. And you're the problem. For a few moments that I have left, I want to preach on this thought this morning. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. You know what we're good at doing? And I believe in preaching like this. The last 17 minutes, I preached hard against the sin of everybody else. And if I missed anything, it's by pure accident. I promise you that. But we're good at pointing out the world's sin. And we ought to. And we're good at pointing out the wickedness of this society. And we ought to. But Isaiah got to a point in verse 5. He didn't say, woe unto them. He said, woe is me. What got him to that point? Three. Notice the text, the holiness that was displayed. Look at verse 1. Notice what was seen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. You know what it got Isaiah to the point where he quit pointing fingers at everybody else and he realized that he is part of the problem? When he saw God, when he saw who God was, when he realized who God was, he recognized who he was. You know what we're good at doing? We're good at seeing everybody else, but when's the last time you saw the Lord? The holiness that is displayed, notice what is seen. There's the period in the year that King Uzziah died. What's going to have to die in your life before you see the Lord? It's indicating in that verse that Isaiah had his eyes on Uzziah. He didn't see the Lord until Uzziah died. And there's something you might have in your life that God may have to kill to get your attention. There's the position. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. There's the prominence, and his train filled the temple. He got to that point where he said, woe is me, when he saw the Lord. what is seen. Notice what is said, verse 3. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. Between he covered his face, between he covered his feet, and between he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 Lord of hosts. And the earth is, whole earth is full of his glory. In fact, they're still doing that now. Revelation 4, 8, when John was called up into heaven, he saw those angels flying around the throne saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He not only saw God's holiness, but he heard the declaration of God's holiness. We have a holy God. Notice what was shaken in verse 4. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. In other words, it shook things up when he saw the Lord. I tell you this morning, our nation's in a mess. Our community's in a mess. Our city's in a mess. But I'm going to tell you what's in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. Because we have lost a visual and we've lost our focus of the Lord. I'm not backing up on anything I preached the last 20 minutes. But I'm telling you, it's easy to preach against the sins of the nation. But we better start preaching against the sins of the congregation. I can witness Brother Richie, Brother Michael. I can talk to the drunkard, but I can't stop the drunkard from drinking. I can't stop the thief from defrauding. I can try to be a witness and a light, but I can do something about me. I cannot control the choices that others make, but I can control the choices that I make. Now, I need to be a light. I understand that. I need to be a testimony. I need to be a witness out in the community. Don't misunderstand me. But at the end of the day, I can't change none of that crowd. But I can make a decision. You know what? By God's grace, I'm going to do what's right. The holiness depicted. Notice the humility declared in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. He will make three indictments to himself in verse number 5. Here's the first thing he says, I am undone. The word undone here gives the idea of I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you doing everything you know you're supposed to be doing for the Lord? Let's just get down to the brass tacks. Are you reading your Bible and praying every day? That's a good place to start. Are you submitting to the will of God for your life? Isaiah wasn't. Isaiah said, I'm undone. I'm not doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing for the Lord. You know, we complain about them taking prayer out of schools. But where were the preachers? I wasn't around. Where were the preachers in that day? Where were the moms and dads rising up in anger? Where were the people standing? You know what Christians are good at? We're good at standing too late. We're good at standing when it's too late to do anything. Humility, he said, I'm undone. He said, I'm unclean. He said, because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. This word unclean gives the idea of being impure. It means, I got a quote here I'm looking for in my Bible. It means not being right, not being pure, not being holy, not being set apart for the will of God. One man said that Charles Haddon Spurgeon will close out his services and his altar calls by saying this, don't come to the altar to get cleaner. Come to the altar to get clean. If you come to the altar just to get cleaner, that means you're not completely clean. You still got some dirty areas in your life. When's the last time you went down to the altar and said, God, I'm not leaving until I'm clean? I'm not talking about salvation, even though that is an aspect of it. I'm talking about you come to God and say, God, I'm coming before you. I'm confessing my sin. And by the grace of God, I'm repenting and I'm forsaking that sin because I don't want to be unclean. I'm undone. I am unclean. He said, I'm unworthy. Watch what he says. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah is a prophet. In fact, he's one of the major prophets. But when he saw the Lord, he said, I'm unworthy. Mine eyes have seen the King. Boy, we're good at bragging on ourselves, ain't we? Do we realize who he is and his glory? Y'all picking up what I'm laying down? His glory and his honor and his holiness. When we see who he is, we realize how sorry we are. Boy, it's easy to take that finger. Tell you that drinking crowd and that doping crowd and that fornicating crowd and all that abortion crowd and that sodomy crowd, they're the problem in this nation. I heard Brother Keith Vole's preacher preach this message. You ever wondered? Don't answer. I know you've heard the sermon. You're not allowed to play. What was the sin that destroyed sodomy? Sodom and Gomorrah. What sin destroyed it? Hey, it was that awful sin of sodomy. No. It wasn't, God didn't destroy Sodom because of the sin of sodomy. You know why he didn't destroy, you know why he destroyed Sodom? Because he couldn't find 10 righteous people there. You know why America is in the shape she's in today? Because of the church. Woe is me. You see, it's always been saying, I'm about done. I ain't got much voice left anyway. And some of you are glad. But it's always been the world. If the world standard's here, then the church standard is here. But when the world lowers its standard, the church lowers its standard. That's why churches 50 years ago, I mean 50 and 60, let's go back to the 60s, the 50s and 60s. You watch shows like I Love Lucy, Dick Van Dyke Show, Andy Griffith. Men walked around in suits. The ladies wore dresses. I mean, there was so much morality that they didn't let Lucy and, what was his name? Ricky share a bed. Had two separate beds. Do you remember that? Oh, but now, see how the world's dropped their standard and the church has dropped their standard? I mean, you look at how, and I understand it wasn't, I understand your TV, I'm just giving you an example. You look at how even Jackie Kennedy dressed. Her dress was always below her knee. I know she wore pants, but when she dressed, she looked like a lady. But now, you get women up in the choir, you got to make sure their dress is below their knee. You see how the world, when they drop their standards, the church just kind of follows along. Oh, we're still not like the world. We're still just above them. I'm telling you, we ought to keep the standard high. That way, if the world drops it, we're still staying there. That way, if the world changes, we're still right where we're at. The church is supposed to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Pillars ain't supposed to move. But you know why? You know why the nation has gone to hell in a handbasket? Because the church, every time the world lowered their standard. Well, I know that's not right, but it's not as bad as what the world's doing. May God help us. This is not just a message to our church today. It's to a message of the churches across the country. Let me give you this and I'm done. There's the holiness depicted, the humility declared, but then there's the help delivered. Verse 6 through 9. There's the contact. That seraphim brought one of them coals and laid it on his mouth. When Isaiah got right with God and said, woe is me, he got a touch from God. There's the cleansing in verse 7. He said, and thy iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. There's the conversation in verse 8. The Lord said, who shall go for us? And the commission in cooperation in verse number 8. He said, here am I, send me. You know, he wasn't saying send me when he was saying woe to them, woe to them, woe to them. But when he said woe is me, he said, God, I'm your servant. And I'm willing to go, whatever. I understand there's a lot of prophetical things. And that's not my burden this morning. There's a lot of prophetical things in that. But the point is, when Isaiah got his eyes on the Lord, was what the drunkard's doing wrong? Yes. Was everything Isaiah preached in Isaiah 5 right? 1,000 times, yes. But Isaiah had personal revival in Isaiah 6 when he said, woe is me.